Hey, we're back. Kevin Trudeau here. Everything they don't want you to know about. Thanks for joining me. We have the true, probably the pioneer, the true superstar in exposing the Great Oz, pulling back the curtain of the Great Oz of the New World Order and the powers that be around the world. David Icke calling in from the UK. David, thanks for being my guest.
Pleasure, Kevin.
How many books have you written? Like 20?
Yeah, something like that. I'm just writing another one now because you get more and more information, as the days, the weeks, the months, the years pass, there's more dots to connect together and the picture becomes clearer. But, of course, we're now in a period where it's not really hidden anymore to anyone with eyes to see. It's blatantly in our face.
Now, you've been doing this for quite a while, and you really were a pioneer going out there talking about secret societies like Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, the various bloodlines of the royal families and so forth. When no one else was talking about it, and you traveled all over the world exposing this, how has things changed with people being open or seeing that this is what you've been saying is true?
Well, it's an interesting question because I've kind of, as you say, been a barometer of this, because when I started talking about this nearly 20 years ago, first of all, in the UK, I got massive ridicule and rejection and often abuse. And then I started moving to North America as people were inviting me there. And I've now been to 50 countries researching this and talking about it. And the difference now is fantastic. There was a time, not a great deal of time ago, when I couldn't fill a phone box. I've talked in parts of America and got 8 people, and now it's thousands. And the people are opening their minds to possibilities which they would have rejected by reflex action before. And one of the big reasons for this, Kevin, is, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, this is moving from, well, it has moved from sometime over the rainbow, this is coming, oh really, to it's on the daily news, on the hour, on the half hour, that this centralization of power and this Orwellian police state, this global Orwellian police state, is moving in so fast now that you can see the bars. You know, before they've hidden the bars, the prison's been unfolding and through stepping stones, one layer added to another layer, added to another layer, and there comes a point where it has to break the surface, because if it wants to transform society in its image, i.e. a centralized fascist global state, there comes a point where that structure has to show itself, and we're in that period now. So it's an interesting time. It's a very, very interesting time, because it was always going to be like this. It was always going to have to be in the face of the mass of the people before most people open their eyes and faced it, because before it's there where they can't ignore it, they'll just put it aside, put it somewhere, you know, in the shadows in their mind and just forget about it. But now we can't forget about it if we want our children, indeed ourselves, to live in anything approaching a society based on freedom.
Now, the people that rule the world, in effect, what is their ultimate objective? You mentioned a centralized police state. Explain this.
Well, if you are a few and you want to control the mass of people, then you have to centralize decision-making. The more diversity of decision-making you have in any area of life, the less control any central point is going to have over that. So what's been happening, and this doesn't go back a few years or a few decades, this has been unfolding for thousands of years as these bloodline families have moved incessantly forward to this end. And if you look at the way societies are structured, you can see this. If you look at the way corporations and business and banking and has gone, you can see this. For instance, there was a time when you had a tribal situation in the world where the people in the tribe, the relative few, were making decisions about what happened in their society. These tribes were eventually brought together under something called nations, and suddenly a few people are now dictating to what were before many, many, many tribes, and dictating from the center what was going to happen, and laws and what have you. We're now certainly in Europe, Kevin, well on the way to a centralized dictatorship in Europe called the European Union. And what is that doing? That's now bringing the nations together. So all those nations are now going to be and are dictated from a central point. Something like 75 to 80% of laws that are rubber stamped, because that's all it is, going through the Westminster Parliament in London, originate from unelected bureaucrats in Brussels. The idea, of course, is to have this super state structure in the Americas, also in Africa. We now have a African Union, which took over from the Organization of African Unity. We have the pressure to and moves to bring about an Asia-Pacific Union. And these unions are centralizing power to dictate to the nation states in their area. Above that, and this is where it's moving, is to create a world government which would dictate to the super states, which would dictate to the countries, and they want to break the countries up into regions eventually, and the maps exist to prove it, and they want a world central bank to dictate global finance from the center, a world currency, which eventually would be a single cashless currency. They want a world army to impose the will of the world government on any area of the world that doesn't want to accept the dictates, and they want a microchip population connected to a global computer, and we're getting closer to that all the time. So this is the structure, and when you know A, the structure they want, and B, the techniques they use to mass manipulate the collective mind to get there, which are creating the problem, telling the people a version of the problem that suits you, i.e. blame someone else or something for what you've actually done, and then when the people say, do something, this can't go on, you then openly offer the solutions to the problems you've created with changes in legislation and society which advance your Orwellian state. I call that technique, problem, reaction, solution. Swine flu followed by the vaccine, mass vaccination is problem, reaction, solution. 9/11, blame it on Arab terrorists that couldn't fly aircraft, and then introduce the war on terror and the invasion of Afghanistan and the invasion of Iraq, which was as a result of this war on terror. They wouldn't have got it through otherwise. And these are problem, reaction, solutions. And the other one technique is the totalitarian tiptoe, I call it. And that's where you're at A, you know you're going to Z, but if you go in too big a leap, the change is so fast that people look up from the game shows and say, what's going on? So you go from A to B to D to E as fast as you can, but not so fast that you cause people to look up and ask questions about what's going on. And so these coordinates of the structure they want and the techniques they use to get us there, once you know them, then you can see the world in a completely different way and read it in a totally different way. No longer are things happening in the world random and unconnected. You can see that they are connected to a very clear journey forward, if you like, towards this centralized superstate that we are, a global superstate that we're talking about.
Now, this one world currency and this one world government, how far away do you think it is?
Well, problem, reaction, solution, Kevin, certainly applies to the financial crash, which was came to light in September last year. That was completely engineered. I've written at length about that on my website. For years, and it was coordinated to a very large extent by Alan Greenspan, the longtime head of the Federal Reserve, which is a private cartel of banks, which masquerades as the central bank of the American government.
What website, if people want to get your materials, your books, and see your speaking schedule?
It's davidicke.com. And
spell that out for us.
David, and then it's ICKE.com.
Okay, David, ICKE.com. David Icke is with us today. Stay with us. This is Kevin Trudeau. We're going to be right back in just a moment. Listening to the Kevin Trudeau Show, KTRadioNetwork.com. With me is David Icke, the pioneer, exposing the truths about the New World Order, secret societies, one world government, one world currency. We're hearing a lot about it today. But when David started 20 years ago, we weren't hearing it from anyone except him. And he's traveled all over the world. He's probably the foremost authority and expert on this subject. David, again, thanks for being with me.
Thanks, Kevin.
Before the break, I had asked you, when do you see this one world government, one world currency kind of going into effect? Pick up on that.
Well, they want it in effect as soon as possible. They have their own time scale, which is not too many years from now. And the bigger the problems they can create in the various areas, financial, political, terms of military conflict, the more profound and far-reaching can be the solutions that they are offering. And if you want a global change, then you need global problems. And so we have the global war on terror. We have global climate change, which is a total scam in terms of it being caused by human activity. You have global financial crises, etc. These global problems, and we're seeing them more and more and more. You have a global, quote, swine flu pandemic. So what you can then do, or you claim that there's one, and what you can then do is offer global solutions. And the more of those you can orchestrate, the quicker this is going to move forward. And so we're looking at now at the eye of the storm, because across all these different areas that must be centralized globally for this global police fascist state to be installed, we're seeing the problems being created for the solutions to be offered. So as I was saying before the break, Alan Greenspan, who is a 100% frontman for this conspiracy, he, in league with many other people, many of which have ended up in Obama's government, by the way, have been orchestrating from the Reagan-Bush era through Father Bush, through the Clinton years, through the most of the years of Boy Bush, before he was replaced by Bernard Bernanke. He has been orchestrating the destruction and the dismantling of checks and balances in the financial system. And what he's done is let greed be unleashed upon the financial system. Now, it's not that all the greedy people were in on the idea that, yes, what we're going to do is do this and crash the economy globally, and then we can offer the solution of a world central bank and centralized control of the world economy. They were just, the rank and file people involved were just greedy people who wanted bigger and bigger bonuses. That's why these bonuses kept being ratcheted up to encourage this. And they did what was necessary with their ludicrous loan policy, which was all based on take the loan, then I get a bonus. Take another loan, I get a bonus. Never mind if it was going to be paid back or not. All this created the crash. And the crash is part of a three-step strategy. The first one was to crash it so everyone knew there was a problem. The second stage was to put your people in government, and if you look at Obama's economic team, like Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, Larry Summers, the head of the White House Economic Council, people like Peter Orszag, the budget director, all these people were, especially Geithner and Summers, were fundamentally connected to the crash, to creating the crash and creating the deregulation. So stage two was to put your people in government and get the government's policies around the world to throw cuckoo land, ludicrous amounts of borrowed money at the banks and at the problem, to the point where the government cannot spend any more money, it cannot borrow any more money. Using a firearm analogy, there's no bullets left in the barrel. Once that point is reached, they intend to crash the economy even more so than in September 2008, at which point there will be no ability of governments to react to it because they're all spent and borrowed out. They want to create a global financial catastrophe. They want to create enormous fear in terms of this swine flu hype, and they want to, at some point, create another global conflict. And they want to throw all these things at people. so that the population of the world is in total fear, exhaustion, and just wants someone to come and save us. And at that point, those that have created those problems, this is all written down in their documents, Kevin, the people who have created those problems then come forward and they say, well, we can help, but this must be the structure. This is the only way out of this. And it will be world government, world central bank, world army, single currency.
Now, I got a question, because a lot of people hear the problems as you outlined it. But the real question, I think, is what's wrong with one world government, one world army, and one currency?
Okay. First of all, I've just been talking about financial checks and balances. Well, there are no checks and balances on that structure. It's a top-down dictatorship. I have absolutely no problem, and I think it's a very, very good thing.
I'd make a good dictator. I think dictatorships are good.
Do you? All right.
I'm sure you'd make a good one, too. You and I can do it.
Well, there's a lot of people who talk about benign dictators. Well, I don't think that any kind of dictator is worth having. What I think it would be a very good thing, and this is not what we've got, is that if we had global organizations that were coordinators, some area of the world, some country was in trouble, then it would coordinate help for that country, help for that people, whether it's famine or whether it's finance or whatever. But that's not what we're talking about. The United Nations has been sold as a benign organization when it's a stepping stone. It's part of the totalitarian tiptoe to this structure I'm talking about. And what this structure is designed to be is not to coordinate between different parts of the world and peoples and countries and cultures. It's to dictate to them. A journalist said to me once, Kevin, what would be the point of a world army? There'd be no one to fight. And I thought, well, you're a journalist, aren't you? Of course. The world army is there to impose the will of the world government. And the reason they want to dismantle national armies and amalgamate them all into a world army, and they're using NATO and the UN peacekeeping operation to move this forward, stepping stone style again, is because the world army is there to impose the will of the world government, and anyone doesn't want to accept it. You have to have that. And this is another thing, but very, very important, involving America, Kevin.
Well, hold that thought. We're going to take a short break. This is Kevin Trudeau. We're going to be right back and more with David Icke when we return.
100% grade A beefy topics without the bull. This is the Kevin Trudeau Show. 888-99-KEVIN.
And we're back. Kevin Trudeau here. Everything they don't want you to know about. Thanks for joining me. KTRadioNetwork.com, broadcasting all around the world. With me is David Icke, calling in from the UK, the foremost authority. Talk about a fortune teller, and he's not a fortune teller, but the guy's prophecies and accuracy about what is going to happen has been spot on, right all across the board in his books. What he said is going to happen, when it's going to happen. The guy is really tuned in to what's occurring around the world. DavidIcke.com is his website. That's D-A-V-I-D, David Icke, I-C-K-E.com. He speaks all around the world, and he has a lot of great books and other information, so visit his website. David, right before the break, we were talking about why a one-world government, one-world army, one-world currency is a bad thing. Because a lot of people I talk to actually say, well, the current system isn't working. So what's wrong with a one-world currency or one-world army? I mean, we wouldn't have any wars.
That's a very good point there, Kevin. The present system isn't working. Under problem reaction solution, which is the prime mass mind and emotional manipulation technique, fundamental to it is having the problem that the system isn't working. Because if the system was working, then people would say, if it's not broke, don't change it. There's no need to change society and change the way we do things because they're working. And as I was saying before the break, this is very, very important in terms of the United States. I've been saying for years now that the plan is to use America to destroy America. Why do they want to destroy America? Because if you are a world government dictatorship, you cannot have independent superpowers that can say no financially and militarily to your diktats. You can't have them. They've got to go. And what they've been doing is using America, because the center of this web at operational level is in Europe, and America has been mercilessly used, and the American people have been mercilessly used, to advance this agenda while self-destructing. So you look at the American economy and all the outsourcing and the destruction of manufacturing industry and all these things. That was all planned a long, long time ago. You look at the way that America has been extended so massively militarily, and now you look at the way Greenspan and his cabal out of the Federal Reserve and in the Federal Treasury Department coordinated the crash of the American economy, and it's far, far worse than they're telling. What they're doing at the moment is kind of trying to kid people that things are turning around and we bottomed out and all this stuff. What they're doing with that is drawing more people in to invest more money and stuff, and then they're going to take that when they crash it big time in stage three. So the idea is to destroy America so America loses its ability to say no to the world government dictatorship. And that's what we're seeing unfolding before our eyes.
Where does Obama fit into all this?
Obama's probably,
Is he a Manchurian candidate? I mean, is this guy think on his own, or is he completely manipulated, or does he feel he has a gun to his head where he has to follow and obey?
Well, Barack Obama, I was writing about him quite a long time ago, and I got right at the peak of his, Obama's the new Messiah type feel in the election campaign, and I got a lot of criticism from people who should know better, saying, "No, this guy's different." Well, he's not different. What Obama is the solution version of a presidential version of problem reaction solution. They brought Bush in, and through his period in office, because he was just signing the checks and signing the documents, he wasn't deciding anything, of course. But he was put in there and the cabal around him to create problems for 8 years, which he did. And just before his period in office ended, we had the financial crash. The idea of Obama, and this is why he's one of the most dangerous presidents, perhaps even the most dangerous president in American history, is that he's been brought in as Mr. Solution, because at the end of the Bush administration, we had problems, and we had a reaction to the problems from the public, which was fear, outrage, concern about the way their lives and their world was going. And along comes Mr. Smile, reading David Axelrod's words off the teleprompter to sell the solutions to the problems that had been created. And I said in these articles before he actually went into the White House that he is going to come in and he's going to introduce the solutions to the problems that are going to advance this agenda. And right across American society, that's what he is doing. He is he's passed climate change legislation. Notice they call it climate change now and not global warming, because temperatures are falling. He's brought in climate change legislation, which will allow authorities to be able to go into people's houses and do energy checks with thousands of dollar fines if you refuse. Far from withdrawing from Iraq, he said that there's going to be a massive presence there indefinitely. He's increased the troops and activity in Afghanistan. He's done exactly what was required by the people behind him in terms of the economy, where he's thrown all this fantastic amounts, trillions of dollars, at the banks and the economy in this stimulus package, quote, where people don't even know where the money's gone. So he has done, Kevin, everything that is necessary to advance the solutions to the problems. And this fascist dictatorship, the destruction of America, is going to get faster under Obama even than it was under Bush.
Well, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Kevin Trudeau at ktradionetwork.com. We're with David Icke calling in from the UK, and we got some more predictions about what's going to be happening. Stay with us, because the guy's virtually always right.
The Kevin Trudeau Show, the most unforgettable show in America.
The Kevin Trudeau Show.
Call the Kevin Trudeau Show at 888-99-KEVIN.
And we're back. Kevin Trudeau here, ktradionetwork.com. Thanks for listening. David Icke is my guest. Man, this guy's good. David, again, thanks for all the time, and thanks for calling in, because the insight that you have is just really, really brilliant. And if you want to meet David personally, he speaks all around the world. You should read his books. Go to his website, davidicke.com. That's David Icke, I-C-K-E, davidicke.com. Yeah, now let's talk about Obama again and these presidents. Is Obama doing this on his own? Or is somebody, did somebody have a gun to his head? Or did he go into this basically a puppet on the string? I mean, is it, explain to me what his motivation?
Well, Obama is someone who has had an image created for him, which is a travesty of the person behind the mask. What they do, Kevin, with presidents and prime ministers in Britain and as well and other places, is they're groomed from quite an early age, and they're prepared, they're trained, they are schooled in things like neuro-linguistic programming, which is a form of manipulating people's perceptions and manipulating their minds by use of words and word patterns, among other things.
Well, I knew the founders of that very, very well. John Grinder and Richard Bandler spent huge amounts of time with Richard and John, so I know exactly what you're talking about. That data all goes back to Milton Erickson, Ericksonian hypnosis, and a whole bunch of other things as well.
Exactly, and you can use it to help people, or you can use it to program people, and you know it's just knowledge, and that knowledge can be used or abused, but. What happened with Obama, he was picked up in around 1980, that kind of time, by a guy called Zbigniew Brzezinski, which is Carter's former national security advisor. Now, Brzezinski is a massive insider of this conspiracy in America. He was the joint founder with David Rockefeller of the Trilateral Commission in 1973, which is part of a web of organizations, including the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London, which answer to a central body, which is a secret society set up in Britain in the later years of the 1800s, called the Round Table. And its first head was Cecil Rhodes, who was a frontman for the House of Rothschild and plundered Southern Africa on their behalf. And so anyone that is a co-founder of the Trilateral Commission is fundamentally involved. A few years ago, he admitted to a Paris news magazine, or a French news magazine, that he set about in the time of Jimmy Carter to entice the Soviet Union to invade Afghanistan. And what he did, this is from his own words, is he trained and funded groups of, quote, freedom fighters in Afghanistan to start causing problems for the Soviet-controlled government in Kabul. He let it be known to the Soviet Union, who was actually behind it, and he was trying to entice them to invade Afghanistan to meet the insurgency, if you like, and to give them, in his words, their Vietnam to bring that superpower down. Of course, they came in, they took the bait, and an incredibly bloody war followed, which cost the lives of at least a million Afghans, never mind Soviet troops. And the people that he funded and trained became known as the Mujahideen. And during the period of the Soviet Union occupation, they brought a frontman across from Saudi Arabia called Osama bin Laden to front up the Mujahideen and be a figurehead for the resistance to the Soviet Union.
Now, I want people to understand this. The United States brought in Osama bin Laden to Afghanistan to be the frontman.
Exactly. And when the Soviet Union left, and because the Soviet Union collapsed as a result of all this we're talking about, then what was left was bin Laden and the Mujahideen, which became known as the Al-Qaeda. And Al-Qaeda actually just means database. And it's called its database, as the former British Foreign Secretary said in an article in a national newspaper in Britain just before he died of a heart attack. He said that the Al-Qaeda means database because it was made up of names on a CIA database of Mujahideen fighters which they had trained and funded. So what we had then, ironically, was when Obama came in, he said, we're going to increase the numbers of troops massively in Afghanistan to meet the threat of the Taliban. Of course, the Taliban came out of the Mujahideen. And so he is putting more troops in Afghanistan to meet a threat from the Taliban, which were in effect created by Zbigniew Brzezinski initially, which is the mentor of Barack Obama. What you find again and again when you research this, again for the reasons we've been talking about, Kevin, is the people who initially create the problems are the ones that turn up with the solutions. And again, Obama, in increasing troop numbers in Afghanistan, is just following the orders that he's getting. Because to come round to your question, he is just a man who wants power. He is a very, very dark entity. You look at his eyes, never mind his smile. And the other thing, I have a golden rule about Obama. Do not listen to what he says. Look at what he does, because those two things are rarely the same. And his handlers in the White House are Rahm Emanuel, who is connected very strongly to the House of Rothschild and Mossad. He's actually served in the Israeli army. David Axelrod, another Rothschild frontman, who orchestrated the whole of his election campaigns against Hillary Clinton and John McCain, and now oversees the words that appear on his teleprompter, which, of course, he is so welded to, because they say that Obama's an intelligent man. No, he's not intelligent. He's more intelligent than Bush because he can sell a line, and he can read a line and deliver a line, but the lines he's delivering are not his. On St. Patrick's Day this year, he was hosting a reception for the Irish Prime Minister and other Irish people for St. Patrick's Day, and he actually stepped forward and thanked himself for organizing the reception, because the Irish Prime Minister's teleprompter words were still up there, not his own. So this is how well he is to it, and he's just a front man. He's a used car salesman. And he's not the person in control. I would put it like this. The Bush administration were controlled quite demonstrably, well documented, in fact obvious, by a group of people called the neocons. And these were people who were behind the invasion of Afghanistan and the invasion of Iraq. The Democratic Party are controlled by another group that I call the Democons. These are the Zbigniew Brzezinskis. They are the Henry Kissingers. They now through the Obama administration, he's an advisor, but he's a Republican manipulator as well. He goes across them. Kissinger does, but it's people like George Soros, the financier. All these people are involved with the Democons, and the Democons and the neocons are answerable to a force in the shadows you never see. And what it means is that no matter if the Republicans are in power in the White House or the Democrats, ultimately, through the Democons and the neocons, the same force in the shadows is controlling both administrations. And this is why you've got this coordination now between the Bush administration creating the problem and the Obama administration coming in and offering the solutions that are required to advance this agenda to the problems that the same force created. Well, this is how it works.
It's interesting because I'm very familiar with the that scenario. In my book, Natural Cures, They Don't Want You to Know About, I outline how the drug companies always have this miraculous drug just when the problem presents itself, because they actually create drugs. They know that the drugs are going to cause certain medical problems, and so they already start producing the next line of drugs because they know 10 years from now those medical problems are going to surface. They do it also with food. When they put high fructose corn syrup, they knew diabetes was going to spike. restless leg syndrome, depression. So they come out with, they know they're creating the problem and they're also creating the miracle solution. So it's, it comes out right at the same time. David,
well, how interesting. Just very quickly on that, Kevin, that Baxter International, one of the people involved with the swine flu vaccine, which has been kind of rushed through to create it and get it out because of this great problem, they filed the patent for the swine flu virus that they're now providing vaccine for. They filed the patent for that vaccine in August 2008.
Exactly.
And the problem, so-called problem, didn't appear until, what, April in Mexico?
Yeah, no.
The month after, the patent came through.
And I expose this in great detail in that book, Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. Folks, we're going to take a short break. Kevin Trudeau here. We'll be right back.
This is The Kevin Trudeau Show. 888-99-KEVIN.
And we're back. Kevin Trudeau at ktradionetwork.com, broadcasting all around the world. The Kevin Trudeau Show, thanks for joining us. Everything They Don't Want You to Know About, with a great guest today, David Icke, calling in from the UK, the world's foremost authority on kind of the hidden new world order, the hidden powers behind the scenes. He probably is the most well-integrated, knowledgeable person in this field, author of many, many books. His website is davidicke.com. That's I-C-K-E. If you're a member of the KT Insider email club, you're going to get all of his websites sent to you this week at ktradionetwork.com. David, explain to me how, again, all this coordinates and how easy it is for it to happen. And more importantly, what's the real downside? How are the average American or the average guy in the streets going to be adversely affected by a one world currency or one world government?
Well, the structure they've created is real simple. If people think of a transnational corporation, it has a headquarters and it has subsidiary companies in each country which answer to the headquarters. What this network has created is the equivalent of that, only they're secret societies. You have the headquarters, the center of the web, what I call the spider, at operational level anyway, in Europe, in places like London, Rome, Paris, Berlin, that kind of area of Europe, Western Europe. This is for historical reasons. And I'm not talking about the governments of those countries. I'm talking about the secret society web, the center of it, at operational level. In every country in the world, especially places like America, the ones that really make a difference to global society, they have their subsidiary company equivalent. And that's a network of secret societies and semi-secret organizations and the family bloodlines that sit on top of that. They have the job in each country of controlling and manipulating their country's politics, business, banking, medicine, pharmaceuticals, the major corporations, the military, media at ownership level, etc. And their job is to impose the centrally dictated policy from the spider in Europe on their sphere of influence, their country. And through this process, and this is not made up, as said earlier, in a few years hence. This is decades in the planning, at least. And so as I've traveled around the world, I've seen the same things being introduced in the countries around the same time, justified by the same excuses. And often the legislation has been virtually word for word. And this is how it's done. And this spider's web goes into the pharmaceutical industry. It also goes into the World Health Organization. It also goes into the Centers for Disease Control. It also goes into the American Medical Association and the British Medical Association. So through the web, anyone that controls the web, i.e. the spider, can dictate policy in a coordinated way through all these apparently unconnected organizations. So you can have control of the pharmaceutical companies and control of the government organizations that are supposed to regulate the pharmaceutical companies. So the regulators and the companies themselves are working as one unit at the highest level. And so what we're seeing now, Kevin, with this whole swine flu scam, is the World Health Organization fundamentally connected to and working with as one unit the pharmaceutical industry, Baxter International and all these others, who are behind the, first of all, the creation of swine flu and as a, creating the problem and then offering the vaccine. And people must do what they choose. But I would say, please, please don't have the vaccine, because this is something that is a setup to get access to the bodies of enormous numbers of people. And when you have a situation where a patent is applied for before the problem appears, when you have a situation where the vast overwhelming majority of people that get this swine flu, if it's even diagnosed correctly most of the time, are having very mild symptoms, and yet you have this insane, crazy breakneck program on an enormous scale of vaccination, then there's something in the vaccine that they want inside us. And I'm going to put a major article on my website tomorrow giving all the background to this, and also videos by other people that are giving the background. It's so important. Don't have the vaccine. Let your kids have the vaccine. It will be, you'll regret it forever.
Exactly. Now, where does Russia fall into this? I mean, remember Gorbachev? I mean, he was involved there with the breakup of the Soviet Union. How does Russia play into this whole world thing?
Well, Gorbachev was a front man for the same organization. He was kind of, if you think about it, as I'm thinking aloud, he was very much like Russia's Soviet Union's Obama, because you had all this long line of Russian leaders who constantly looked as if they were just coming back from a funeral. And then suddenly you had Gorbachev come along, smiled, and Margaret Thatcher said, oh, I can do business with him. And he kind of was an Obama-type figure. And what did he do with his smile and his bonhomie? He oversaw the breakup of the Soviet Union. And Obama is in the process of overseeing the breakup of America as we've come to know it, because they want a North American Union, and then in a whole of the Americas Union. But first of all, a North American Union, which is North America's version of the European Union. And the more that they crash the dollar, the more they crash the American economy, what they're doing is reducing the resistance of American people to allowing that to happen. If they are persuaded it's the only way for everything to be sorted out that they're frightened of and they're experiencing financially, politically, whatever. And another thing that's happening, which is connected to this, by the way, is like in Europe, they're allowing mass immigration in around the world, and this is a situation where they use the people who are coming in, and they use the people who are already there. The idea is to get as many people from different cultures in different countries to break up the sense of nationhood. That's what it's about. I mean, I think it's great that everyone gets on, comes together and realizes that race and all that stuff is just an illusion and a fault line to divide and rule us. But the idea of what's going on is to break down a sense of nationhood. Because if you have a fierce sense of nationhood, you are going to resist having that sovereignty taken away and absorbed into these super states that they're planning around the world.
Now, do you think the U.S. is going to be broken up like the Soviet Union? Because I knew Mikhail very, very well when his wife, Raisa, was still alive. We traveled together throughout Australia for many weeks, spent a lot of time talking through his interpreter. He didn't speak English very well. And I asked him about the breakup of the Soviet Union, and he just smiled and he said, the United States is going to have the same thing happen. And I at the time, and I think it was 99 or 98 when him, we were chatting about this, it obviously wasn't even a consideration back then. But do you see that occurring?
Oh, yes. That's the plan. They want to break the United States up into regions within a North American and then a whole of the Americas union. That's the idea. I said earlier, they want to bring an end to nation states and break them up into regions. In the European Union, the maps have actually been made up and published in one newspaper in this country, one mainstream newspaper, where they've broken up, for instance, the United Kingdom into regions, not regions that make any sense really, just groups of bits of land within the United Kingdom. And they've grouped these regions together with other regions in mainland Europe and Scandinavia. And these regions of the United Kingdom are not grouped together as one unit. We call a nation. One part of the United Kingdom is grouped together with a region of France. Another part of the United Kingdom is grouped together with a region of Scandinavia. And the idea is quite simple. It's to break up any unity of response and resistance to the edifice of power that I've been describing, the world government at the top, the super states, European Union, American Union, underneath that, African Union, Asia-Pacific Union. Then underneath that, they just want regions where they will have no power, no military, nothing that will allow them to resist the edifice of power above. That's the idea. So America's not going to be any different if we allow it to happen, because that's what they want.
All right, hold on one sec. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Kevin Trudeau, KTRadioNetwork.com. More with David Icke in just a few moments.
This is the Kevin Trudeau Show, worldwide at KTRadioNetwork.com. 888-99-KEVIN. Kevin.
And we're back. Kevin Trudeau here. Great interview with David Icke, world's foremost authority on the great Oz, the powers behind the curtain. DavidIcke.com is his website. DavidIcke.com. Great author, many books, lots of information. David, in our last segment here, what's going to happen to the American dollar? What's going to happen to the American economy and the lifestyle of the average guy? Is he still going to have food, water, a job, income? Is still going to be able to watch TV? What's going to happen over the next few years?
Well, as I said earlier, we're coming into the eye of the storm. In fact, we're in it. It's just a matter of degree. And all these areas that they want to create global problems for to offer the solutions are all coming together at once. This is all written down in their documents, that basically they were going to throw everything at humanity at one point. So humanity was in such distress, such fear, such desperation, that they would just agree to anything. Which will be the structure that I'm talking about, and control and microchipping and all the rest of it. And compulsory vaccinations, by the way, are part of that agenda. So over the next little while, we are entering very challenging times, and it's very, very important that we stay calm, that we don't react and panic, because that's what's got us into this problem. You know, it's not problem, think it through and then see how it's really going on solution. It's problem, reaction solution, emotional reaction. So we need to stay calm, and we need to not panic, because there's going to be many challenges. First of all, they're going to want to bring in compulsory vaccinations because of the information that's circulating about this vaccination scam. Large numbers of people are actually not going to accept the vaccination, and they want to try and get compulsion through to get those people. We must not allow that to happen. We must resist and come together and work together to resist that happening. They're going to crash the economy in stage three of that scenario I talked about earlier, so there's real challenges economically coming. They want a war. They want a war involving North America, Europe, Russia, and China, which could well be sparked out of the Middle East, Israel, Iran, and all that stuff that's going on at the moment and has been for some time. North Korea as well is a spark point possibly for that, because they want to bring an end to all super states and superpowers, rather, and Russia and China still come under that category to an extent with Russia, and to a much larger extent with China. And so they want to have a third world war. Again, this is in their documents, because the first world war, massively centralized power compared with what it was like before. They then had the Second World War, after which power was incredibly more centralized than it was at the turn of the century, and you had a justification for the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, all the Bretton Woods Agreement and stuff like that, the introduction of the United Nations. And the plan has always been for a Third World War that would create a situation where, to stop this ever happening again, we must have a world government, and we must have a world army. We must bring an end to national armies, because if we do, this catastrophe will never happen again. Problem, reaction, solution. It's a mind game. It's all a mind game. You, when you're a few, Kevin, and you want to control billions, you cannot do it physically. You have to get people to see the world and themselves in the ways that are going to get them to behave and accept things that suit your agenda. It's a mind game.
Is there a safe place in the world if you had a choice, for example, you know, living in Switzerland or something?
Well, for me, I don't look for safe places personally, because I don't think in the end there are any, the way the scenario is going. I mean, they want microchip people. This is something else what we must absolutely resist and refuse en masse, because once they get access to the body through a microchip, it's not just about electronic tagging. I've had chapter and verse of this from a CIA scientist in 1997. It's not just about electronic tagging. It's about external manipulation of our minds, our emotions, and our physical bodies. That's what the prime bottom line is. And of course, electronic tagging and knowing anywhere you are in the world is also part of it, but only part of it. For me, you know, the safest place to be in terms of our freedom, it's to stand up and face this, to get our backsides unstuck from the sofa, and to start accepting that we have a problem here. No more excuses. Look your children in the eye. Look your grandchildren in the eye. Think about what their society is going to be like, given what ours is now, and tell them you can justify doing nothing or ignoring it or keeping your head down or get another bucket of sand out of the shed. We need to stand up, face this, come together, drop the irrelevant false lines, fault lines of race, of income bracket, of religion, and all the rest of it, and realize that this is not a conspiracy to enslave Jewish people or Islamic people or middle-class Americans. This is a conspiracy to enslave humanity, and we need to come together to stop that happening, because the number of people doing this in full knowledge of what they're doing is a relative handful. The number of people being manipulated is billions. I see a way out of this, but only if the billions get their eyes open, get on their feet, get involved, and stop fighting among themselves. Then this must come to an end. If it doesn't, then it won't, and we'll live in a fascist dictatorship, a global version of Nazi Germany, and then some, within a few years from now.
Well, I think the good news, if it's, stop me if I'm wrong, but throughout history, every dictatorship, every fascist regime, every totalitarian government has all been overthrown by the people when they finally got fed up.
Yeah, the difference is that they have played a different kind of fascism. They've not done it, it will come to that, but they've played it as a benign democracy, a free world.
Right, right, right. Well, that's how we're going to get into it, but I think once people start seeing what it is...
Yeah, and that's why I said earlier, Kevin, that we're now in this point where it is being seen. And that is a challenge, because it shows how far along the road it is, but it's also a very good thing on another level, because people now can see it. It's not some theory.
Right.
It's not sometime never. They can see it. So now comes the question. You can see it. No more excuses. Look at it.
Exactly.
What are you going to do about it?
David, listen, I got to take a break. Thank you so, so much for being my guest. You're absolutely brilliant. And folks, davidicke.com is the website. davidicke.com. This is Kevin Trudeau. You're listening to KTRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back after these short messages.